Jersey TV.
These shades here. Yes, they're Ray-Bans, yeah. No, I've never bought a pair of Ray-Bans in my life. David Simone gave me a pair of sport Ray-Bans. Those aren't the ones I'm wearing now. These I found in the backseat of my car. Yes, I found them in the backseat of my car, lying right in the middle of the backseat of the car. No, I have no idea whose they are. I asked around. A little bit. Not very thoroughly. I mean, I didn't go on an all-out investigation. I just thought, oh, okay. Somebody doesn't care much about their Ray-Bans, so here we go. Why do I wear sunglasses indoors? Just to look cool, that's all. Welcome to MZTV. This is Martin Zetter. Going to close out the week talking about devoutness. Oh, yes. Everybody wants to be devout. Everybody in the Christian world thinks they know what devoutness is. I'm going to deconstruct this because, as usual, they're all wrong. We know what it means because the word is used in the scripture. There's a Greek word associated with it that the Concordant version translates devoutness. And when we look at it in context, we're going to get the true meaning of it. And it is wonderful. It is glorious. And you're going to realize that you're devout every day. But if you think devoutness has to do with behavior, well, some days you got it, some days you don't. But it has nothing whatsoever to do with it. It has to do with your opinion of God. That's right. So let's break down the word. Let's break down the word translated devoutness in the scriptures. The Greek word is eusebio. E-U-S-E-B-E-O. You may recognize that prefix, E-U. It means well. And sebio is to revere. To revere. To well revere. My paraphrase of that would be to have a good opinion of. To revere, according to the dictionary, is to feel the deepest respect or admiration. To respect someone so deeply that you almost worship them. Well, in the case of God, in the case of being devout, in all the contexts of the scripture, it means something, well, this, respect so deep you almost worship. In God's case, we do worship. Something goes toward something else. Toward. It's not pointing back to you. Devoutness does not point back to you, as most Christians think it does. Let me finish this here, and then I'll get into that. I'll make fun of the Christians in a second. Don't worry. I know. How many minutes have gone by? I haven't done that yet. To respect someone so deeply that you almost worship them. Rock stars, for example, are revered by throngs of devoted fans. Yes, they are revered. They have devoutness exercised by the throngs of fans toward them. It reaches outward, not inward. And that's a beautiful thing because all the Christians think devoutness has to do with behavior. I got a verse that I'm going to close with today. This isn't the closing yet, don't worry. That shows this perfectly. It has nothing to do with behavior. But again, Christians think, I want to be devout. I fold my hands every day. I get down on my knees. I look up to heaven. I talk in whispered hushes. I pray six times a day. I'm very devout. I'm very devout. I have my works on a graph, and I see if I am lining up to the Ten Commandments. And then you have monks thinking that by going into seclusion and by focusing totally on themselves, that they're being devout. Oh, look at those monks. They're so devout. No, they're ridiculous. Ronald McDonald is respected, in my mind, more than monks. Ronald McDonald. Well, he makes people happy. With hamburgers and french fries and Coca-Cola and milkshakes. All the things that make people happy. What do monks do to make people happy? They make jam. Yeah, so do smokers. That's true. Somebody said, well, they don't get any hair in the jam, at least, because they don't have hair. Yes, they do. They have those little things on the side that go around there. I have no idea, but they think it's devout. They think, I'd like a devout haircut. Okay, and they look at that little ring of hair down at the bottom. It's ridiculous. Just wear a sweatband or something. Is that a devout haircut? No. It's only reverence toward self. Now, let's go to scriptural examples. Monks, but seriously. If you have to go into seclusion and seal yourself off from the real world, how is it that you're being spiritual or devout? Isn't it better to live life and let the Holy Spirit protect you, lead you into all righteousness? As I say in my book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle, these morons who wrote the book tell men that they have to bounce their eyes right from every beautiful sight of women, or every sight of beautiful women, whichever one you like. Bounce your eyes. They have to totally stay away from it. They have to, if they see a billboard with a girl in a bikini, they can't look, they can't think. They even are told, the poor men who read this book are told by the poor authors who wrote this book that they must even control their dream life. Yes. How are these people trusting the Holy Spirit? They would call that devoutness, but it's not trusting the Holy Spirit of God at all. What's more impressive? Somebody who goes off into seclusion or bounces their eyes and never even sees beauty in the world in the form of the female. Never even sees it. How is it impressive that they've overcome sinning in that direction? It's not impressive at all. They don't have opportunity to sin because they don't see it. In the case of the monks, they're sealing themselves off. I'm much more impressed with somebody, say, like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit photographer or Victoria's Secret photographer, who are surrounded by beautiful models all day, and then they go home to their wives and they love their wives and their kids. Now that's impressive. That's impressive. These morons, of which I have spoken, are not impressive. Acts 17:22-24. Paul talks about, he's speaking to the Athenian philosophers, and he says, you even have a marker or statue, a plaque dedicated to the unknown God. Paul says, to whom you are ignorantly devout. The words I want to emphasize is to whom you are ignorantly devout. See, it goes outward from the person to something else. 1 Timothy 2:2. The saints are to be living in devoutness. Oh no, I got to live in devoutness. Most people think that means I have to behave myself. It doesn't. It's to revere, to reverence. In our case, in case you haven't gotten this yet, you're a smart audience, I know you have, it is revering God. Devoutness is, what is your opinion of God? How do you see God? Like the rock stars, right? The example of the rock stars. How did that go? Revere means to respect someone so deeply that you almost worship them. Rock stars, for example, are revered by throngs of devoted fans. Revered. They're esteemed. We esteem God as the sovereign of the universe, the one who orders all things. That's devoutness right there. You don't look very devout, Martin Zender. Why? Because I wear sunglasses, because I smoke the occasional cigarette, because I have the occasional sip of whiskey. Devoutness has nothing to do with anything that people perceive to be sins or that actually are sins. It has to do with, what's your opinion of God? Well, revere. And it goes toward, well, revere. I revere God well-ly. He's a sovereign of the universe. That's giving him reverence. He's the savior of all humanity. He sends a savior down to take away sin and to redeem the race from the curse of Adam. And he succeeds. That's revering God. That's being devout. So how ironic that all these Christian people who think that they're devout, I fold my hands, I pray to God, I do this. Sometimes I pray with my hands like this. Other times I pray like this. In the meantime, they believe in eternal torment. They believe that God sends a savior who fails. They believe in free will, that salvation comes down not to God, not to Christ, but to a human's decision. They're trashing God. They're belittling him. They're marginalizing him to the sidelines. Sorry if that's a redundancy. And they're putting themselves on center stage. Now it's up to me. No, it's not. Why are you devout towards yourself? I fold my hand. I pray 3 times a day. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. But what else would you expect but to have the whole thing as a photographic negative? It's just the opposite of the truth. The opposite of the truth. You're devout towards yourself. Free will. The human will decides. That's self-devoutness. That's self-reverence. And it's putting God on the sidelines. I don't like it when that happens. So saints to be living in devoutness. And what does that include? Learning about God. How do we be devout? We set off on a program of bouncing our eyes or of not eating food that we like, giving up things for Lent. No. The first step in living in devoutness, when somebody tells you, live in devoutness, like Paul here to Timothy, the first thing you should think of is, okay, tell me something good about God. Give me light concerning the Creator. Give me light concerning God and His Son and their works and their plan and how they're executing their plan and how their plan ends. Does it end in success or does it end in a cauldron of bubbling evil that never goes away and that captures most of our loved ones, our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, our friends, our wives, our husbands, boiling forever in a cauldron, a hot cauldron, of God's indignation in spite of sending His Son. You call that reverence? You call that devoutness? It's not. But most Christians believe that. Or they believe in eternal death. Ooh, that sounds fun. Where do I sign up for that? Funerals are so much fun here. I'd like to have more of it. And for eternity. 1 Timothy 3:16, Timothy to be exercising himself in devoutness. There it is. You see that word exercise, and the first thing you think of, well, jumping jacks, push-ups, something hard, exercise. Ooh. Do you know who is exercising devoutness? Mary, sitting at the feet of Christ. Do you know who is not exercising devoutness? Martha, who was running around the kitchen, making her bouillabaisse special, or, I don't know, BLTs, whatever she's making. Homemade pizza, that could be good. I could credit her with devoutness in that case. But no, she's exercising, but not in accord with devoutness. Mary is, because devoutness has to do with well reverence toward God. And how do you revere Him? You find out about Him. You find out about how great He is. The only way to find out how great God is to quit church. And I have a book on how to quit church without quitting God. And if you haven't heard of it, go to martinzender.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see a word called books. That's the word. And then you click on it, and then you see all the wonderful books I've written. Yeah, 12 to date and 9 more coming up. So 1 Timothy 6:6, devoutness with contentment. Devoutness with contentment. Christians would think, well, that means that when you behave yourself, you feel good. When you behave yourself, you have a good day. But that little misdirection has a flip side, an unpleasant flip side, is when you don't behave yourself, when you fail, when you have a day where you sin, then you're not content. You're not content at all. Because why? Because if your focus is inward, then you're up and down like a freaking roller coaster, like the freaking stock market. There's no contentment there if you think that devoutness goes inward. But when devoutness goes outward and you figure out from the scriptures who God is, how successful He is, how powerful He is, how good He is, that doesn't change. So my devoutness with contentment never changes because it's not based on my performance. It's based on Jesus Christ and God's accomplishment. Ooh, 2 Timothy 3:5. Oh, man. A form of devoutness yet denying the power. Paul talks about how terrible it's going to be in the last days which we're in. He says perilous periods will be present. He lists all these terrible sins. And then he ends with this, which I think is the worst. A form of devoutness, but denying the power. Form of devoutness. Again, the temptation is to think of that as people who act good. Form of devoutness, they act good, but they're really not good. Well, that's not the case here. a form of devoutness is claiming to revere God, claiming to have a well reverence of God, claiming to esteem God. Oh, we love God. We love Jesus Christ. Really? Then why in your teachings are they failures? Why can't they do what they want to do? Why is God, the one whom you purportedly revere, why is he running around the universe trying to fix stuff that Satan does? Because God can't control Satan. Why not? Because Satan has a free will, according to them. Satan has a free will. Not only that, but 8 billion human beings also have a free will. Can you imagine trying to go around fixing the stuff that people do that surprises you because they're free, and then you have to fix it and somehow fix it all in the same way so that hopefully you can get what you want? It's all a finger-crossing enterprise. And it's ridiculous. So that's a form of devoutness. And in this case, it is. Like I've been saying, it's like, well, we're so devout toward God, we pray. We pray. We face Jerusalem 3 times a day, and we pray for God to restore America. That's not devoutness, I hate to tell you. That's creature worship, because you're worshiping your own power to bring about these things that you think need to be brought about. I have a note here about my 2 Timothy 3:5. I wrote this not too long ago. See my beautiful handwriting? Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is not outward behavior, but how they revere God. To not recognize God's power is to not revere him. Oh, there you go. To not recognize God's power is to not revere him. Having a form of devoutness, but denying the power. What power? The power of God to execute his will, to execute his intention, and to execute his aeonian purpose, to bring the universe and all its creatures in loving and worshipful subjection to his beautiful feet. God doesn't actually have feet. That's a figure of speech called anthropomorphia. Don't panic. Now, 2 Peter 3:11, I'll close with this for the week. Don't forget to tune in on Sunday for another Rodney Paris Martin Sanders special. But until then, 2 Peter 3:11, Peter talks about holy behavior and devoutness. Do I need any more proof that devoutness has nothing to do with behavior? There it is. Holy behavior and devoutness. So the two are not related. They're two different things. Holy behavior, that is, you know, being kind to people, loving, not taking evil into account. All the things Paul talks about in Rome, 1 Corinthians 13 about what love is. Be doing good to all, especially to the family of faith. All these things belong to holy behavior, that is behavior that is that should belong to people who are called out by God. Holy, set apart, called out by God. Behavior that should be, we would like it to be in sync with that, okay? Now, see, that's different than and devoutness. And devoutness. You want me to behave myself and be devout. Okay, then I'll help an old lady across the street. I'll carry a member of the body of Christ across the street. Remember, we do good for all, but especially those of the family of faith. But on top of that, I will meditate on the power of God. I will meditate on the beauty of God, which is reflected in the beauty of women, by the way. Well, not to get off on this, but boy, that's a double entendre, isn't it? Woman being the last thing God created, hasn't created one thing since Eve. You ever think of that? Hasn't created one thing originally since Eve. Eve is the latest and the greatest. Woman, the latest and greatest. And woman on the earth is a demonstration of the beauty of God. So see, that cancels out all the crazy lie of every man's battle stuff. Every man's battle nonsense. So we meditate on the beauty of God, which is demonstrated in the beauty of the world, especially in that entity I just mentioned. And also, though, the beauty, the symmetry of his word, when you study it, you see a marvelous symmetry. Also, God's good goals to bring the universe in subjection to his feet, to become all in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28, to send a son who actually succeeds at saving people in spite of the people's stubbornness. Well, God himself locked them up in stubbornness, Romans 11:32, that he should have mercy on the same people. Believe that verse, Romans 11:32 and Romans 11:36, that all is out of, through, and into God, and you, my friends, will be devout as hell. You will outstrip, outshine any religious person who thinks that devoutness is striking a holy prayer pose. No, that is called self-occupation.